Well, it's really good to see some new faces today. Welcome to our church. We're very glad you're here, and please join us for the barbecue afterwards. Well, Wu has done this already, but maybe we could just do it one more time. Since this is Easter, when I say He is risen, you say He is risen indeed. Jesus is risen. Amen, amen. Well, I have two passages for us today, and the first one, they're both from the Gospel of John. First one is John chapter 10, verse 10, just one verse, and then I have another one. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come, this is Jesus, that they may have life and have it to the full. And the second passage is John chapter 14, 19 through 23. This is also Jesus speaking to the disciples. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Well, there is a famous painting by this Russian monk named Andrei Rublev back in the 15th century. And as you can see, there's three figures. And the biblical background of the painting is the story of three persons visiting Abraham and breaking the news that his wife Sarah will soon bear a child. That's the background, but interestingly, this painting is much larger than this. It has got the background, but it has no Abraham and no Sarah. It just has the three visitors. The painter is interested only in these three figures. Now, they may be three angels that have visited Abraham, but on another level, we consider them to be three gods, you know, the Trinity. Three gods in one. When we look at the paintings, the three faces are, it's kind of hard to see, but the three faces are identical. They have the same face. You can see they're holding a staff, and that signifies that they are gods with equal authority and equal power. And you can see them wearing a blue robe. And according to the experts, the blue robe signifies their divinity, you know, that they share, that they're all three gods. And yet they have different colored robes, which also signify their distinct identities. You know, they are not the same. They're very distinct. Different three persons, and yet they are one. That's the Trinity. And their faces, they're it's kind of bent, and they're looking at each other. And their you know, faces reveal that they love each other, that they enjoy one another. And their eyes, you know, if you see close, their eyes are gleaming, and they're just really enjoying the company of one another. And they seem to be very silent, and yet in silence, there is a constant communion between these three figures. There is intimate conversation going on. The Bible tells us that God is a community. God is a community. God is three persons united as one. And each person of God is defined by one's relationship to the other gods. When the Bible says that we are made in God's image, it means that we were also given the capacity, like God, to be in a relationship with another person. That's what it means to be made in God's image. The capacity, the ability to be in a relationship with other persons. Now, the Western thinking is that a person is an autonomous individual who can live without any relationship. But if we start with the Trinity, we get a different understanding of a personhood. An individual is defined by what separates that person from others, but a person is defined by what connects, what relates, how that person is related to another person. So relationship is essential to a personhood. Now, we were made to be in relationship with God the Father, the Trinity, the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, and with other human beings. That is our purpose. The Trinity shows that God exists in relationships. The medieval theologian said that Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit holding hands and dancing in a circle. They're going around in a circle, just happy to be together. And in that circle, there is perfect love, there's perfect peace, and there's perfect joy. Rublev's icon is calling all of us to enter into that divine circle of dance, the divine life. And this blessed divine life is what Jesus came to offer to all of us. When Jesus rose from the dead, it proved what Jesus said about himself. He said, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so too the Son will give life to anyone whom he chooses, to anyone he pleases. On Easter, Jesus rose from the dead. But Easter is not just about the resurrection of Jesus, it's about the resurrection of you and I. It's about our resurrection as well. Jesus not only died for us, but Jesus also rose for us. He rose to give us life. Jesus said in today's text, the first text, that he came to give us abundant life. He wants us to have life to the full, a full life. The resurrection was for us to become fully alive. And the second text, Jesus says, because I live, you too will live. And that is the meaning of Easter. We live because Christ lives. That is the meaning. Christ rose to give us life. So we can say, I am risen indeed. Now, what does it mean to have this abundant life or to be fully alive? Well, it means to have life that overcomes death. The only life that can overcome death is the life of Jesus, life of the Trinity. And the life of Jesus is imperishable. It is eternal. And having abundant life is to be born again with the life of Jesus. But that is not all. Eternal life is more than just receiving eternal life as a gift. The life of Jesus. Today's text says, on that day you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, and my Father will love them, and we, the Trinity, will come to live in you and make our home in you. When we believe in Christ, the Trinity comes to live in us. God dwells in us, and we dwell in God. It's a mystery, mysterious union. But like the union of the Trinity, we become united to God, and we become part of that circle of the divine dance. We become part of the community, the God community. And we get to know God in a personal way. And eternal life is not just about living forever. It is about the quality of relationship we have with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and with each other. And this is the reason why God made us. You know, God didn't make us because he was so bored. No, God made us because in that Trinity, the love and the peace and joy was so powerful and overflowing that God had to share that life with other beings. And that's why God made us, so that he can give to us the gift of his life, his love, and joy. More than any other gospel writers, John shows us how much the Father loves the Son. In the first chapter of John, it says, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Now, the literal Greek Bible says, "Who is in the bosom of the Father?" Who is in the heart of the Father? Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in Jesus. Even before Jesus began a public ministry, even before Jesus did anything to glorify the Father, at his baptism, the Father expresses his great love for the Son. He says, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." The kind of love the Father has for the Son is unconditional love. When Jesus was baptized, Jesus had not done anything for the Father. He did not perform anything for him. And yet the Father says, "I love you. I am pleased with you." The Father loves Jesus dearly and unconditionally, and he would do anything and everything for the Son. And the good news for you and I is that God loves you, God loves me, with that same unconditional love. God expresses his passionate love for us through prophet Isaiah. "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. I have engraved you on the palm of my hand." That is God expressing his love to us. Apostle John puts it this way: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And regarding God's love for us, John Murray says, "As one of his redeemed ones, you are God's delight. His heart yearns for you with a longing of love that is stronger than death. You are more precious to God than you can ever imagine." Because God is love, we were made to be loved by God. You and I are close to God's heart, just as the Trinity dwells within each other and has that intimate relationship. God desires to dwell in each one of us and have that intimate relationship with us. You know, when have you felt fully alive? When are we fully alive? I think for many of us, it's when we are in love. When we are in love, we feel truly alive, right? When we experience God's unconditional love, that's when we feel alive. We are fully alive when we realize that God is in us, that God lives in us and walks beside us. We are fully alive when our souls hear the message from God: "You are my Son. You are my daughter. I love you, and I am pleased with you." But many people do not believe God when God says that he loves them. And that is what the Bible says is sin. Sin is not just disobeying God's commands, but it is also not believing in what God says. And God's primary message in the Bible is that God loves us. But many people do not believe God when he says that he loves us. We refuse to believe. We doubt that God really loves us or cares for us. And that is our sinful nature. And that unbelief is what prevents us from being included into the community of the Trinity. Father Raniero Cantalamessa is a Franciscan father who is a preacher to the Pope. I mean, this guy is a preacher who preaches to the Pope of Rome. And he said that life's most beautiful moment is to know that one is loved by God personally and to find oneself in the flood of love between the Trinity. We become fully alive when we are assured of God's unconditional love for us. At the age of 27, Jack Frost was free from addiction to drugs, alcohol, and pornography. Following his conversion, he became active in a church. He tried to express his love for God by building his identity through hyper-religious activity. Many of the Christians around him seemed to think the same way. And when he became a pastor, things got even worse. He had a deep-rooted fear of failure, and he needed to earn acceptance from everybody. And that translated into an aggressive zeal to win souls and to build a fast-growing church. He wanted to look good before everybody, but underneath the veneer of success, he was a very unhappy person with an unhappy family. His commitment to ministry was far greater than his commitment to his wife or kids. And when he was at home, although he's supposed to be a loving pastor, he was irritable and impossible to get along with. Everything he did was tainted with passive anger. His face became stern and serious, like the Pharisee. His preaching became very legalistic and very demanding. He knew the theology of grace, but he did not experience grace in his relationships. And Jack's children didn't like their father at all. He says, "I would tell them I love them, but I constantly pointed out every mistake and shortcoming. I demanded exact obedience, but I lacked the ability to express love and mercy when they fell short. By then, my 17-year-old son and my 14-year-old daughter had closed their hearts toward me." So frustrated with his failure at home, he put even more effort and hours into the ministry of the church. And when his family was teetering on the edge of disaster, Jack and his wife attended a conference on emotional healing. And during the prayer time, one of the staff said that God would like to minister to the men in the room whose father did not show them love. And at the time, Jack felt as if he was transported back to his childhood. He was in a dark closet, and he was afraid. He was fearful. He heard yelling and screaming from his parents' room. And he remembered the fear and the loneliness and the sense of abandonment. He felt deep and painful ache to be embraced by his earthly father. The embrace his father was not able to give to him. And suddenly Jack realized that 34 years later, his father in heaven was meeting his deepest need for a natural demonstration of a fatherly love. He had a direct encounter with God's love, and he just lay there weeping in that room. And the Father, the Heavenly Father, entered into his childhood closet, and the Father, Heavenly Father, embraced Jack, and he felt God's love, strong love, for the first time. And for 45 minutes, the Holy Spirit poured out God's love into Jack's heart and washed away much of his guilt, much of his shame, fear of failure, fear of rejection, and fear of intimacy. So his experience of God's love changed his life. His wife gained a new husband. His children gained a new father. Frost's approach to ministry changed. He says, ministry is no longer something I have to work or strive for. Most of the time, I am motivated by a deep gratitude for being loved and accepted unconditionally by my Heavenly Father. As I receive God's natural demonstration of his affection toward me, I simply give it to the next person I meet. That's his ministry. Of course, many times Jack fell back to his performance-oriented patterns. However, he had learned to run back into the arms of the loving Father. So because of God's love, Jack had become fully alive. On Easter, Jesus is inviting all of us into the life of the Trinity. Jesus came to earth and he died and rose to give us life, to make us fully alive. Jesus is alive today and he is knocking on the door of your heart. And if you open the door of your heart and let Jesus come in, he will dwell in you and you will dwell in him and you will be joined into the joyful divine dance. You will experience the love of God toward his children. And nothing, not even death, can separate his love for you. And right now, today, you know, you can start that eternal life. You can have a personal relationship with God if you invite Jesus to come and dwell in your heart. And if you want, you know, some of you may not be ready, but if you want, you can do that right now. And I want to pray this prayer, and, you know, you can sort of follow this prayer in your heart. And if you mean it, if you mean it, Jesus will come into your life. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that we have not loved you, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, we have not believed the message, the good news that you love us unconditionally. Lord, we thank you that you have died to pay the penalty for our sins and that you rose to make us fully alive, to give us that intimate relationship with you for eternity. Lord, we open our hearts and we invite you to come in. Would you live in us, live in me, walk with me, and guide me. Lord, may we follow you as our Lord and Savior. In Christ's name we pray, amen.